Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two handmaids. He put the maids with the children in front, then Leah and with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given as your servants." Then the maids drew near, and then their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And finally Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down too. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I've met?" Jacob answered, "To find a favor with my lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have found for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please. If I find favor with you, then accept my present from my hand. For truly to see your face is like seeing the face of God. Since you have received me with such favor, please accept my gift that I have brought to you. Because God has dealt graciously with me and because I have everything I want." So he urged him and he took it.
The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Braden. During the last 2 weeks, we have considered why reconciliation is so difficult. Then we proclaimed that reconciliation is possible because we, as new creations, no longer live under a worldly perspective. Now, we can overcome differences, hatred, and prejudice through the grace of God. Today, we will look specifically at Jacob's story. Among the many stories of reconciliation in the Bible, Jacob was born with many elements of conflict from his mother's womb. At that time, the Lord foretold to Rebecca, the mother of the twins, "Two nations are in your womb. The one people will be stronger than the other people. The elder will serve the younger." This was a reversal of the norm culture that could cause conflict. Esau, the first to be born, came out red all over like a hairy garment. Jacob, the second to be born, came out and his hand held onto Esau's heel. This also foreshadowed conflict between Jacob and Esau. Esau grew up to be a hunter, but Jacob was a quiet man. Isaac, the father, liked Esau, whereas the mother, Rebecca, loved Jacob. We know that parents' favoritism has almost always caused conflict between children, regardless of any era. As the eldest son, Esau enjoyed 2 privileges of the firstborn, the birthright and the blessing. However, Esau dealt with his birthright casually. So one day, when Esau was so hungry, Jacob tricked him to sell his birthright, and Esau sold it to Jacob for a bowl of red stew. Later, Jacob, with Rebekah's help, tricked elderly father Isaac into giving Esau's blessing to Jacob. When Esau discovered this treachery, he was furious and determined to kill Jacob. Rebekah warned Jacob of Esau's plan, so Jacob fled and began his fleeing journey. Now, let us look at some lessons from the process that made the reconciliation between Jacob and Esau possible. First, although our sins have been forgiven by the grace of God, sometimes we have to deal with the consequences of our sins. Jacob may have heard from his mother about God's promise that he would inherit the birthright. Nevertheless, that does not justify Jacob's sin. Jacob may not have thought of the consequences of what he had done. However, he had to pay a price for that. He had to leave his homeland as a fugitive and could not return for 20 years. And he could not see either Isaac's or Rebekah's death. Rebekah, too, had to suffer from never seeing his son Jacob again, whom she loved so much. In addition, Jacob had to suffer emotional pains such as fear, shame, guilt, and loneliness and uncertainty until he finally reconciled with Esau. What I often experience through my pastoral ministry is that certain problems recur over many generations. Mental illnesses, alcoholic addictions, or drug addictions were particularly common. Of course, not all cases are the same, but in some cases, we see it repeating across generations. So we must declare that in Jesus Christ, we are freed from any condemnation, resentment, and addiction that may have passed on from ancestors. Second, God's intervention comes during the most vulnerable times in our lives. Picture Jacob's current situation. He had lived an affluent life as the grandson of Abraham, a wealthy patriarch. But in an instant, he became a fugitive and was driven into a life of fear, loneliness, and uncertainty. Now he spent the night alone in the wilderness. And the Bible said that he took one of the stones and put it under his head and lay down to sleep. But I'm sure that he couldn't easily fall asleep that night, and all he could do was ask God to help him with tears. In fact, that night, Jacob was not alone. It was God's time to meet Jacob in a mysterious way. In his dream, Jacob saw angels ascending and descending on a ladder reaching into heaven. God, who came to Jacob at his most vulnerable moment, made a promise that would calm all anxiety of Jacob's. God promised, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land." Jacob's personal encounter with God was the beginning of his healing journey, although it was going to be a long and painful one. The second encounter with God came when Jacob spent the crucial night by Jabbok River before he met Esau. He was so vulnerable and was not sure he could face Esau. After Jacob sent his family ahead, he stayed back alone to pray and ask God to help him. This time, a mysterious stranger appeared and began to wrestle with him till daybreak. In the end, Jacob was blessed by the angel of the Lord with a new name. Everybody say, Israel. And the man said, "You have struggled with God and with man and have overcome." Now, once he totally yielded to God, his fear vanished and he was ready to meet Esau. Jacob still was not sure how Esau would respond, but it really didn't matter anymore. Although we have been vulnerable during the pandemic, maybe the most vulnerable time in our lives, it may be one of those times when we would be surprised by how God will bring good things out of bad things. We will surely find out soon as we are looking forward to the end of the pandemic is near future, in near future. Amen? Third, healing begins when we confess our sins and accept God's forgiveness. In order for Jacob to reconcile with Esau, he first needed to acknowledge how sinful he was and repent. This time, God let Jacob experience in the shoes of Esau in order for him to realize his sin. Jacob, who was the trickster, was tricked by Laban, his uncle, and also Rachel's father. When Jacob fell in love with Rachel, he worked hard for Laban, hoping to marry her. Laban, however, tricked Jacob, and Jacob ended up marrying Leah instead of Rachel. He then worked additional 7 years to marry Rachel. What would Jacob think of during those years? wouldn't he be ashamed of the tricks he did to Esau and his father? Now Jacob knew that he had done wrong and was seeking reconciliation with Esau, but he could not decide to return to homeland because he was afraid of Esau. One day, Lord told Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." So now, after 20 years passed, since Jacob fled from Esau, Jacob finally decided to return to Canaan, his homeland. Jacob first sent messengers to Esau in an attempt to reconcile. The messengers returned with the news that Esau was coming with 400 men to meet you. Jacob feared that Esau was coming to attack him, so he sent second messengers ahead with a grand gift of livestock in an attempt to turn away Esau's anger. It seemed that Jacob was thinking of buying forgiveness with some goats and camels and bulls. However, we do not require any money, words, or actions as payment to be forgiven. Conversely, you should not have any condition to forgive someone who did wrong to you. Forgiveness is always a free gift. Hallelujah. Now, Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. Jacob tried to be courageous to face Esau, man to man. Verse 3 says, he himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground. How many times? 7 times. As he approached his brother, by bowing down, he was admitting his guilt and begging for forgiveness. And he truly humbled himself before Esau and called Esau my lord, and called himself your servant. Only humility will guide us on the path of reconciliation. Lastly, we must trust that God is working behind a curtain to bring reconciliation. Esau could have killed Jacob right away. Instead, verse 4 says, Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they wept. During all those years, Jacob lived in fear of seeing his brother. But at the same time, God had been working behind the curtain to touch Esau's heart and lead him to a place of forgiveness. So Esau seemed more than ready to meet Jacob, even more than Jacob himself. What a story. What a story. We are so grateful that Jacob and Esau reconciled after 20 years passed. However, there is one question lingering in my mind. Although Jacob and Esau reconciled with one another, what about their descendants? In Numbers chapter 20, verse 14 to 21, Moses sent messengers to the king of Edom, which was known as descendants of Esau, asking permission to pass through their land. But they refused to let Israelites to pass through their territory. So Israel had to turn away, even though it was a direct way to the promised land. Even today, the relationship between Israel, Jacob's descendants, and Jordan, where the descendants of Esau have lived, is not well. This shows us how difficult reconciliation is in the real world. Reconciliation is a long healing journey, not a momentary one. The history of racism we are experiencing today is a problem that has long been with the history of our nation. Many leaders and scholars believe that a more fundamental solution is needed, and many resources and books on racial injustice are pouring out these days. Thanks to these efforts, we hope that the next generation will experience peace and reconciliation. The reason we can be hopeful is because God is still working behind the scenes. Do you know what the strategies of our Lord are for his work? The answer is simple. By sending us as ambassadors of the Ministry of Reconciliation into the world every day. Before we go out and carry on our responsibility, God wants to make sure that we first experience God's healing mercies in our homes, our jobs, and our communities. So, dear congregant, let's fervently pray for our country to be healed and reconciled as we honestly confess the sins of racism that have passed on for centuries in the history of our nation. Let us be courageous to be forgiven and to forgive and embrace one another, regardless of our differences of color, language, and social status. Let us proclaim together that we will no longer tolerate injustice and decide to live as reconcilers. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, we desperately need the ministry of your Holy Spirit right now. Some of us are literally scared to forgive, too guilty to be forgiven. Father, forgive us for choosing to live a life chained to the past. Grant us courage and give us humility both to forgive and to be forgiven. May the words that separate us come crumbling down by the power of Jesus' love. Amen.